All right, Daryl Impey, here we are. We're at the Vuelta España, my old favourite race, and you're at the second rest day, the last rest day. You've got the last week ahead of you. You're in your 11th Grand Tour, 15 years as a pro. You're the ripe old age of 37, mate. How does it feel? How's it been over there? How's the old Vuelta going, buddy?
I'll tell you, I've had a hard Vuelta. It hasn't been easy, man. It's especially the race has been flat out. The starts have been nuts. The battle for the points is there. All that nonsense in the background. And then we've still got, like, the heat has been, it's been unbearable here, actually. Like, I love the heat, but I'm actually, like, wouldn't mind getting into some colder situations. But, yeah, the pace has been on. The guys are... it almost feels like a different sport to what I like when I started my Grand Tour career. You kind of, you can say that. Like, it's just different. Like, there we used to let a break go, and but yeah, it's like every day is an opportunity, and like there's so many guys that won something out of this race. You know?
Can you give me in a short sentence to describe your feelings, your sensations, your emotions from this year's Vuelta? One short sentence.
I guess I'm just saying on the limit, mate.
What
in many ways. Mentally, physically, tired, I'm everything.
What about if you could do one short sentence to describe the peloton's feelings and emotions from this Vuelta?
Zero patience with anyone.
Really?
Oh, man. There's just like people are shouting. Yesterday I saw teammates just shouting at each other because the one guy was like saying it was a nuts time. And they go, where were you? Where were you? You didn't cover the break. And the guy's like, I just came straight out the arse. And he's like, I'm just aiming at the back. I was just like, oh, man. People are fighting. It's the end of the season, nearly. Oh, people are done.
Well, that was just a bit of a snippet from last week's episode that I did on the Vuelta a España. My favorite Grand Tour. I did love that race. It's just finished last week, and we spoke to a few guys there. Luke Plapp. He's on his first Grand Tour. He's an Australian. He hails from Brunswick Cycling Club, my club. He's a Neo Pro doing his first Grandy, like I said. Then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got the South African, Daryl Impey. Good to hear him back in the mix. He's had a big injury last year, missed the Grand Tour. He also missed the Tour de France this year because of a COVID test right beforehand. So to hear his opinion again also about being back in a Grandy was very interesting. Then, of course, we spoke with our favourite, Luke Durbridge. Great to hear his thoughts, of course. Always a laugh talking to Durbs. But then I thought it was really interesting hearing from Fred Wright. He had the completely different opinion to the rest of the crew about what was going on in the Vuelta. Of course, because he's got golden legs at the moment. If you haven't heard that episode, go back and listen to that. That's last week's episode talking about the Vuelta, talking about Grand Tours as well, comparing them all three, and just finding out what it's like to ride a Grandy. This is Talking Luft, and I've got the boys back, and it's going to be a Vuelta a España-inspired Talking Luft. This year, we've partnered with Rafa, and they're helping us bring you the podcast. It's been fantastic working with them, and we're on the cusp of the 10th year anniversary of the Women's 100. The Women's 100 is all about celebrating women in cycling and just going the distance together. So on Sunday the 18th, which is actually this Sunday, the challenge is for all women out there to get together and ride 100K in one day. They've set the target on Strava to try and get 100,000 people to take part. It's a global connection. That's what Rafa's about, trying to get everyone around the world to cycle. It's a crazy idea, but I know they're probably going to hit those numbers. That's what I love about it. Speaking of this weekend, I'm also embarking on my challenge, Road to the World Championship. If you didn't know already, the UCI World Cycling Road Championships are up in Wollongong this year in Australia, just south of Sydney. That's about 1200K from Melbourne. And I thought, well, I'm due to be up there anyway to check it out, hang out with the Rafa crew, do a little bit of alternate commentary. That's something we can speak about a little bit later on. But I thought, why don't I just ride up there? Get in touch again with my own backyard, Australia, take the coast road the long way up to Wollongong. So that's what I'm doing. I'm heading off this Saturday from Lancefield where I live. I'm doing it over 5 days. Like I said, it's about 1200K, so there's going to be some big days in there. If you're Australian, you're listening to this and you're keen and you live on the East Coast, you're keen to have a beer with me, you're keen to do a couple of K, you're very welcome to come along and check it out. I'd love to have your company for a little bit. Have a coffee, have a beer, whatever it is. I'm going to be recording a podcast on the way about just all the larrikins I run into along the way, whether they're cycling, whether they're not, it's going to be, you know, pub related. It's going to be a lot of kilometers, like I said. Who knows what's going to happen out there? The weather does not look great. So, well, you're going to hear me struggling along the way. That's going to be happening next week. I've got a great podcast already recorded for you next week because I'm going to be on the road when that podcast comes out. Lael Wilcox, that's next week. But now we've got Talking Luft. I'm going to let you sit back and enjoy this one. This is a funny one with the boys from the Vuelta. So guys, enjoy. All right, here we are. This is Talking Luft Vuelta edition. I got Fred Wright here, mate. We start with the original question is caps, casquettes, capolinos, those mini cycling caps. You know the ones I'm talking about, mate. How do you wear yours when you don't have a helmet on, when you're rolling up to sign on now at the Vuelta, you want to look cool? What's your style? How do you wear that mini hat on your head? Do you wear it forwards? Do you wear it backwards? Do you have the brim up? Do you have a brim down? What's your style?
I have a tricky problem because I have a rather large head.
So not good for Luft, general, that's for sure.
The caps situation is quite difficult, but if I can get one that's a nice size, I'd like to have a bit of height on it with the cap pointing down, I'd say. But it's a
forwards
difficult
with the brim down.
Yeah, it's a difficult one. You know, I think back in the day I would have struggled because, you know, normally now if I put a cap on under my helmet, my head, I start getting a headache, and I think it's normally because the cap's too tight.
it's a common problem. I've actually heard this is George Bennett does the same thing too. He cuts it. He cuts a cap underneath his helmet, yeah. Releases a bit of the pressure.
No, that's what I do in the classics, yeah. I have to get the scissors and snip the back of it just to release the pressure.
What do you do with your cap when you're coming back from sign-on? Do you fling it away to a fan, give it to a little kid? Do you give it away or you tuck them in your bag when you get back to the bus? Save one for later.
I'd always want to give it away. And I know what you... It sounds a bit hard. You get some sort of slightly stranger looking older men that sometimes want it. But it's always better to give it to inspire the younger generation, I think.
Now, because we've had so much heat in the race, do you prefer racing in the heat? Or would you even say now you prefer to race in the rain?
I'd take 10 degrees in rain over 40 degrees.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
You're calling it.
Yeah, I think I would. British man, I'd say, yeah. I'd rather... Oh. I think once you get below 10 degrees in rain, it's horrible, but 10 degrees in rain, I think I can just handle it a bit better than other people. That's when I start, you know...
You're nuts.
That's when the body starts working better.
All right, Daryl Limpy, Talking Luft for Welter Edition. Mate, when you go to the podium, casquettes, capolinos, how do you wear your cap, mate? When you're going up to sign on, what's your style?
Right, we got to wear the SkiCon cap, so I'm limited in what I can do. So actually, there's six more days left in the race. I'm going to actually come with six different styles.
Right.
I'm going to backwards, forwards, casual sunnies, normal sunnies.
What are the SkiCon caps? Yeah. Are they just a normal baseball hat, are they?
Yeah, just the trucker cap. So not much we can do, you know. Can't get any Luft, can't get any flip of the hat. You know, but if I wear a hat, it's on my head, a casquette, then it's
What about you? Because you've actually made your own hat, your own casquette. Tell me about that.
I was inspired by you, mate. So I made some Be Lacquer caps, and then basically it's just like you flip the lid and it's just Be Lacquer, like just be a nice person.
Perfect. Yeah. And so you prefer that worn forwards with the brim up.
Exactly, not backwards. Oh, you can't wear a cycling cap backwards, man.
Perfect. Do you now, this is a good question now, do you prefer heat or rain? Because, you know, everyone when it's raining would say, you know, heat, but now you've had so much heat, what do you prefer?
Still heat.
Still heat. Right? You can't overdo it.
Nah.
All right, we've got the Neo Pro. This is Talking Luft. Let's see if he can navigate his way through the Vuelta edition. Plappy, welcome to Talking Luft, mate.
Thanks for having me on, mate. Bit stressful, but we'll see how we go.
Well, let's just start with style and clothing. And we're talking about capolinos, casquettes, mate. You've probably got a bucket load of them in the bus now, something that I was very excited about when I was Neo. I was like, what? There's an endless amount of caps that I can just take and wear a new one every day and hand it out. The question is, how do you wear yours when you're going up to that sign-on? What's your style? Have you perfected a pro style yet? Is it forwards? Is it backwards? Brim up, brim down? What's your style, Neo Pro cap style?
So I'm a forwards mate, cap brim down, 100%. But I thought I had a bit of luft until I saw Heppy walking around the peloton lately. He's got some exceptional luft going on. So I've recalculated my luft and realized that I have it pretty flat down on the head compared to him.
Oh, you're halfway between swimming cap and real luft. All right, you're working on it. I like it. Do you give it away? What's your technique as you go to the podium? Do you like to sort of give it away to a kid on the way back, or you tuck it in your bag for later? What do you do with that cap once you've signed on?
Nah, the cap's that's up for grabs to any kid you see, mate. It's take your pick and see who's cheering the loudest and they get it. Yeah, same with the gloves as well. At the end of the stage, that's usually what goes on.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Well, shout out to anyone who sees Plappy at the end of the race. Gloves coming their way. Mate, there's something that maybe you've changed your mind on because it's been a hot for Welzer. Do you prefer riding in the heat or riding in the rain?
That's not up for discussion. 100% the heat. There's
yes.
Catalonia this year. I don't know if people remember, but I basically got in the bus at the end of halfway through a stage because I was frozen to death.
All right, Derbs, this is the Vuelta España Talking Luft. I reckon you've done every edition of Talking Luft, so I had to invent a new one once again for you. I'm not going to ask you the question, the casquette question, because we all know how you wear yours. Backwards, skull-capped, brim down, isn't that right?
As tight as possible on the head.
Mate, I've got a question here for you. Because of so much heat in the race, do you prefer heat or do you actually prefer a rainy stage now?
I don't like the... Oh, I don't know. It's so hard. I think I prefer the rain now. Like, it's just... You can't... Your body just shuts down in the heat. In the rain, it just... I mean, unless it's freezing. But, And I've started to notice that the only thing that can make people slow down is the rain. So it's not that. Okay.
All right, well, now this week, or especially this last few weeks in the Vuelta, I don't know if you've been going back much, but you would have done your time collecting bottles anyway. What's your bottle collection technique? Do you go back for the bottle vest? Do you like to get the feed bag? Or are you a good old-fashioned style in the jersey, you know, pump them in the back of the jersey, in the front, in the pockets, you know? What's your style when you're getting bottles?
It's just always all as many down the back as you can. I think actually the skin suit that we've got, for me, it's a little bit looser. So actually, if I'm in a skin suit, it's easier to get more because they also, they're not going to fall down your back because you
and fall at the bottom of the jersey.
It can happen sometimes. I never forget when I was a Neopro and I went back for bottles and I had them all in the front of my jersey and then my jersey unzipped and all of them fell out
in the peloton,
just off the back of the peloton. Luckily.
Only the race chief commissaire got to see that.
Yeah.
Lucky. Oh, held your dignity until now, until it's out to the world now. Yeah. What about when you get that last bottle from the car, that infamous sticky one, and you're like, okay, I'm going back to the peloton. Where do you put that bottle, that last bottle? What have you saved? What position have you saved for that bottle?
Always front bottle cage, but at this Vuelta, it's actually been, the sticky thing has been sticky ice. I've ended up just getting the ice. I think it's just my own fault. I sort of get the bottles in first, and then I'm like, oh no, can I have some ice as well? And then it's always ice. It's the last thing that I get, big bit of sticky ice.
Imps, what about you?
Bottles down the jersey is the best way.
Yeah, it is.
But Joe, I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't done a couple bottle runs in a while, but don't tell the boys yet. But Joe, I kind of sneaked it out in the Vuelta. I just kind of been keeping quiet, keep using the shoulders as an excuse, you know. That,
oh, yeah, you just like,
I can't grab all those bottles.
Did you get bottles already? Oh, yeah, I was going to go back. Oh, that's a shame. Yeah, I'll go next time.
Oh, you would want to hear our orders. Like, it's like Fruity Mix, coconut water, Coke, water and ice. Do we have a slushy? It's like a full menu. Yeah.
When you used to get bottles, though, when you can remember back, you know, who knows when that was, Daryl, but probably the last race, really. What is your, where do you put the last bottle as you get the sling off the car? Where does that bottle go for you?
I always leave one bottle out, and the last bottle is I put it back in my bike.
Yes. Well done, mate.
So, like, one free bottle, and then just.
One
easy to go.
One bottle cage free, and you take the sling off the car, and it goes straight in the cage, and you straighten the bars in your back.
Exactly.
Well, Plappy, what do you think, mate?
This was the first time actually doing it here at the Vuelta. It's been few and far between, so it was actually a bit of pressure going on the first time. I went a couple up the back of the jersey, a couple in the pockets, and then I was like, shit, I need some more. So I've gone the front, and they all came tumbling out of the front. So that was That wasn't a great debut. And yeah, since then, back of the jersey and in the pockets, and I've avoided the front ever since.
Have you perfected the final bottle yet? Once you get the final bottle sling, where does that bottle go? Have you saved a spot for that?
No, at the moment, mate, it stays in the mouth while I go through the peloton.
Mate, something I learned in my first Welter, I think, Neil Stevens told me, he looked across and he said, keep that front bottle cage free, Mitch. I was like, why? He goes, you ready? Slung me and he goes, that's where that bottle goes. Bang, straight in, hands back on the bars.
Yeah, that's what I need to get into.
How about you, Durbo?
I'm an old school sort of just in the jersey, but I reluctantly take my hands off or anything like that to put them in the back. So I actually run quite a fair bit in the front. So just like
down the front of the jersey.
Down the front of the jersey, because that's the quickest way. If I'm getting more than six, I'll get a musette. And just chuck the musette, like two down the front, a musette over the shoulder. We don't actually have bottle vests, maybe that's why. For me to get a bottle vest on is just I don't like being in the cars, and when you go on 70 or whatever, it's like just give me them quickly and then I'll sort it out later. So yeah, I just chuck three down the front because normally my pockets are full of food, so I can't really get a bottle in there. So three down the front, maybe two at the back. If I'm getting more than six, like I said, use a musette.
Where does your last bottle go? As you get that sling off the car, the last one, where's that going?
Well, lately it just goes on my head. So it's freezing cold water. And as I launch off, I go through the bunch and generally spray my teammates if they need some cold water. And just like, okay, you want to dump? And I come next to them, like, and they're like, yeah, on the head. So you squeeze them on the head, and then you go to the next one and squeeze on the head, and then you get rid of the bottle. So,
what's your favorite moment in a Vuelta stage? And I mean by, you know, it could be that moment where you're in the neutral zone, you're like, oh, I love this bit, we can just catch up with mates. Or it's when the break finally goes, you're like, finally, the break's gone. Or it could be when you're in the break, could be that last kilometre on the road. When's that moment where you go, you know what, I love this bit of the stage? Fred, what do you think?
There's been a few times as well where we've sort of, you sort of hear on the radio, okay, guys, it's sort of 12K now on this road, slightly downhill. And there's been a few times where we've been just going slightly downhill on just, you know, there's no corners to worry about. You're flying along in a bunch, and you don't have to pedal. You can just float. And I think there's been a couple of moments like that as well, and they've been the best.
Oh, what about on the flip side? What's the worst moment in a Vuelta stage?
I say yesterday, knowing that I still had to do a 20K climb at the end. That was, and the start was like a wall. So yeah, that was the worst moment, I'd say, of the whole Vuelta.
The whole Vuelta.
I think when the break's gone.
Yeah.
So either you chuffed if you're in it, or you're like just like, just come back a notch, you know? Or the next best moment is knowing that you've got enough time with the time cut, and you're like hitting the bottom of the berg, and you know it doesn't matter what speed I ride up here, I'm gonna be safe. That's also a great feeling.
Yeah, that is a nice feeling. And as long as it's not too crazy steep and you can ride up comfortably.
Yeah, exactly. Like yesterday was nasty. Yesterday was steep. It wasn't fun.
So like, that's sometimes the worst thing is like, even though you sit up and you're going to roll in, you're like, I'm still just slightly below threshold getting up this hill.
Yeah. Exactly. So, but it's still a nice feeling knowing the time you have. Like, I was thinking, geez, they told us now, like, oh, you guys have got 6 minutes and you got like one and a half K to go. You'd be like, oh, shit. Like,
I'm going to have to push.
That would be your worst time in the tour.
Well, that's like, the question right now. The worst moment in the Vuelta race right now. What is that one moment? Is it getting that call? You got 1K to go. You've only got 6 minutes to make time cut.
I think if you did get that call, it'd be the worst thing to have. And then the other thing is just like the crashes, you know, like when you crash and you know, oh, I haven't got a chance to recover in this race. Like when I crashed on the second stage, I just knew I'm not going to recover until Madrid. Like the shoulders, it's not going to get better until Madrid.
Mate, the last week and a half, it's definitely been once that break goes. It's just unfortunately taken over an hour for that break to go. So it's an hour of hell before then. But 100%, once that break goes and the red jersey stops on the side of the road to take a leak, that is golden, mate. That is definitely the best part of the Vuelta.
Until they start riding again. That's right.
Yeah. You just soak up that 10 minutes as much as you can.
Worst moment in the Vuelta stage?
Oh, I reckon Sierra Nevada getting piped on the penultimate climb and realizing that there is a long, long, long way to go to the finish line. And it was my first real proper gruppetto. And because it was so long to go, there was actually quite a bit of panic of how much time do we really have to get to this finish line and are we in danger? So that was definitely the worst time. We made it with 6 minutes to go. But yeah, that was probably the most stressful moment.
Easy, mate. Heaps of time up your sleeve. You guys are pushing too hard.
It's a tough one. Yeah, obviously when the break goes, because it's sometimes like 90K. So yeah, you're like, oh, that's good. But then you settle in and you're like, this is hard now again. So I don't necessarily like that. But I'd probably say once you know you're safe on these mountain stages time-wise and the last sort of 5K, you can just enjoy the crowd, look around. Like yesterday in Sierra Nevada, like you're just so high up there and there's massive crowds and it was pretty special just the last 5K to just enjoy it. So I'd probably say like when you know you're safe and you're only like 5K from the finish and you can just sort of enjoy the bike race for a little moment.
Grind the compact gearing in.
Yeah, oh man, the gear's so big at the moment. I'm just riding like 40 RPMs. Just can't be bothered pedaling.
What's the worst moment in a Vuelta stage?
The start.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no control.
Oh, it's just these. We've started every day with like 2 or 3K rollers. So you just like, you've just got Grand Tour hard as well. So it just takes a while for it to start beating. You just like, and you just finally get going over the first roll and then you recover and you've got to sprint from the bottom. And the problem is lately is just these roads that we've been on, they're quite small. That you come over, you're descending really slowly and you're like, oh, this is not right. Why are we going so slow? And then you look up and you see the guy and he's two switchbacks ahead sprinting as hard as he can. And you're like, that's going to hit me in about 45 seconds and I'm not even there yet. And so that's the worst moment.
Mate, well, lastly, I've got a question for you here. This is a bit of a gross subject. It's the saddle sores. But I always found in the Vuelta, I had the worst trouble down there because you're constantly wet. You're either wet from sweat or you're wet from putting bottles over you or your eye socket's dripping down. So your chamois is always wet. What my question is, what is your current status down there? And do you have any tips or tricks that you use for anyone out there listening going, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So hit me with it. How are you going?
It helped me. I think I know what you're saying about the heat and everything. So because the tour was so hot this year, I was the worst I'd ever been at the tour. And I think basically it's, you know, down there, it's got accustomed to it a bit more. So this world has not been...
It's leathered up, has it?
It's leathered up down there. So at the moment, I'm okay. But
oh, right. You're like a horse saddle, that hard leather.
But I do. I have been putting the chamois cream on every day.
Chamois cream. That's your trick, is it?
Yeah. Just keep. Even if you don't need it, just have it just in case.
Remember those things? I don't know if you ever remember them. Second skins. People used to actually stick like another skin down there.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that'll rip off a couple other things as well when the tank comes off.
What's your current?
It's like a full on wax afterwards. It's like, oof. If you come home, your missus is like, what did you do there?
Were you really racing? Yeah. What's your current situation and what's your tricks to the trade for anyone listening out there?
I could do with a new gooch, that's for sure. Yeah, I've actually just discovered late in my career there's like a numbing cream. So you can get like a numbing cream.
Right.
That you can put on. And I was like, that's actually worked a bit. Like I still feel like, obviously I still feel the saddle sore and I still feel like it's a little bit raw there and things like that. But like a little bit of numbing cream on top of that. And it's actually like, wow, a little bit of a game changer to me. Like, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. I didn't know about the numbing cream. It's almost like one of those things, though. It's like, well, you should sort of be feeling the pain because it's supposed to be stopping you, isn't it?
Well, that's the thing. It's like kind of you just – it's like, yeah, I think you can do some serious damage. So, like, I'm a little bit weary. But Joe, I think as well, you gotta ride like new Nicks, like, you know, change them out every 4 or 5 days, because it's like the Grand Tour, you know, they wash it and then they tumble dry it or whatever. It's just never the same again.
No, I might have to chat to you off the phone, mate, and I can get some tips and tricks off you, because I haven't got any. But it's not great. I think swapping between the time trial bike and the road bike, that was what got me a bit, just the different saddle. But yeah, look, that's definitely one of the things that the Welsh is going to leave me with, and I'll be looking forward to off season to rectify the situation down there and iron it out a bit. But no, I've definitely got a few.
Current status is, it's a bit like Gallipoli down there.
Gallipoli, he said.
It's not great. Same thing. It's always wet. So that's the issue. So no, I've got a bit of a situation coming on, but it's manageable. So it's hurting, but it's like, you know, just cream on it each night. Yeah, just trying to go back to bib shorts. I think the problem is we always wear skin suits these days, and they just ride up, and they're just not as comfortable as bib shorts. So I've just gone back to Knicks and jerseys. Seems to be helping. It's not dire straits, but it's just, like you said, I think it's just because your chamois is just constantly wet. But anyway, it's manageable. It's not the worst I've ever had. So, but yeah, every morning takes sort of about half an hour to warming up, and then we're okay for the day.
Do you get your wife to come and visit you at Grand Tours?
I used to until we had 3 kids, and it was way more hectic. So, but they came up to Utrecht actually. So, if we get the chance to do it, it's, hey man, I love it. I love having the family at the races and love seeing the kids. So, and I think it's important for them also to see what I do, you know, except Utrecht wasn't a great place to do it. It was actually really tough for me, mate, to be honest, because I crashed and then I knew I had to get to the bus, get changed and get fixed up. But then I knew they were waiting outside the bus because they needed to see me, you know, and then like I came outside and the kids were just crying in my arms, and that was tough, eh? That was super tough for me. So like, and I knew the team wanted to go, but I was like, man, I know I have to get outside the bus. So having them there was tough, but it was it's still awesome to have them there and to see them.
I don't summon her, but she does come. Yes. Do you allow her to come and see you? Yeah, no. My wife does come to a lot of the rest days, but she hasn't this Grand Tour because she's got family over, but... Yeah, Lara seems to find it fun to go and find all these different random locations to come visit. So I always enjoy it, and it's a really good switch-off time.
Yeah, what do you like about it? You get to enjoy it, switch off?
Yeah, it's good. Like, I mean, just a bit of normality. You sort of feel like you start again a new race, you know, and that's the hardest thing about Grand Tours. As you know, Mitch, you're just away from your family, and, like, it gets long in the end, you know. So by the end of the time here, it'll be a month because we got in so early this time, so it just sort of wears you down. So just that little refresh for both of you, you know, it's, they miss you too, so it's actually really nice. So as much as they can, and if it's convenient, then sure.
What don't you like about it?
Sometimes if you are completely broken, like logistics can wear you down in terms of like getting back from training, and then you got to get a massage, and then like the rest day before, I had lots of meetings on that rest day for some reason, and there was actually just no time, and I would hate to not be present. So that's sometimes the only unfortunate thing about it.
All right, well, I've got a scenario for you. It's been a hot, tough day. It's again another long transfer to the hotel. It's a Vuelta scenario. You're over it, and when the director sportif ask who's going to jump in the car to save some time to get massages started, you start to hide in the bus. Knowing 9 times out of 10, you don't save that much time at all. Tomorrow's a big day for you. It's a stage that you've earmarked from the start of the race. This time, the bus is actually much slower and you arrive really late to the hotel. The director wants you to get a massage before dinner. It's the last thing you can be bothered with. All you want to do is eat, get horizontal, and switch off. It's frowned upon to eat and have massage after dinner. It's also seen as unprofessional to simply ditch the massage altogether, especially knowing you want to raise your hand in the bus the next day in the team meeting and say you're up for the stage. But you also know the most beneficial thing for you now, right now, physically and mentally, is to eat and sleep. All right, so that's the scenario. Do you A, acknowledge that you made the wrong choice by going in the bus, walk straight into the massage, get some treatment, head down to a dinner at about 11:30, eat, finally get to your room by about 12, start unzipping your bag and getting ready for bed. It's not your choice in recovery, and you're a little bit stressed out about the whole situation, but you're going to keep the DS and the staff on side, and in their eyes, you're the ultimate professional. So when you ask for support in tomorrow's stage, you'll get it. But your recovery, mentally and physically, hasn't been really great. That's option A. Option B, you ditch the massage. You're like, that's it. Head straight to dinner, go straight to bed, and get a good night's rest, not stressing about it all. You have somewhat pissed off the DS, who told you to go in the car and save time in order for you to have enough time for massage and dinner. You also piss off some of your teammates because you eat without them and just leave and then go to bed. So ultimately, when you raise your hand in the bus the next day, suggesting you want to have a go at the stage, the question could be asked, and if given the green light, there's going to be this extra pressure put on your shoulders from this not ideal situation. You may have had better recovery, but actually, you've got this extra pressure now on your shoulders. Now, option C, the last option, you go via your soigneur's room. You say to him, mate, I can't be bothered getting a massage. I just want to chill. So he can cover your ass if anyone comes in asking where you are. You take some time back in your room, unpacking and relaxing. You head down to dinner at the appropriate time, post-massage. Eat dinner with your teammates, and no one is the wiser. You hit the sack. The following day, everything is lined up for a good day. Recovery was good. No one was annoyed. As long as no one finds out about your little scheme you crafted up with your trusted soigneur. A, B, or C?
C. C for sure.
Why? So you got to trust your soigneur is not going to dob you into the DS.
No, because I think that I've got a good relationship with my soigneur that I can probably like just say, listen, mate, like, come on. I'm just poked. And, you know, he also probably pretty happy. Has a day off. So it's like it's a win-win. It's a win-win. I think for me that's a win-win because I'm still with the boys because I get the fact that you got to like you want the team to be behind you, so you want to have breakfast or dinner together and you want to get some camaraderie and, you know, and you know, kind of get the boys motivated for the next day. So I wouldn't want to miss out on dinner time. But then I'd be like, okay, the massage – okay, cool. I can miss out on that. Like, it's not the deal breaker, you know, for me.
But you do acknowledge that if you do skip it, sometimes it can be viewed as, especially if you want to have that day tomorrow, it's like, oh, you're just going to skip massage, are you, mate? You just, you know, and you want to have a go tomorrow stage. Yeah, right. You can feel that angle, can't you?
Yeah, but then you got to have like some fig jam, you know? Yeah,
that's right. Faith in your own self. That's right. A, B, or C, Devo.
Well, I've never met a director to actually keep check on who gets a massage or not.
Yeah, but you know, if you go in the bus, the team meeting, and your director goes to you, you specifically didn't get in the car. He knows you didn't, so you missed your massage. And then the next day, you're like, actually, can I have a go on this stage? He's like, oh, yeah, right. The guy who didn't want to recover properly. Yeah, sure, mate.
I just like the options of hiding on the bus. Like, I always thought you were going to tell me, like, which compartments to hide into. If this is the team that I'm on, that I have a director who's, like, scared about me getting massages or not, I definitely am not getting in the car. So I'm going to take right. – and I obviously like to eat with my teammates. So I'm going to do the little skiing with the And I'm going to go.
You're laying.
I'm going to go.
You're laying all your faith in your Swanee. That he's not going to dob you in when the pressure comes on.
My Swanee's Sandra, and she wouldn't do that to me. So she's she would be fine with that. She'd be a little Irish lady. She'd be fine. So I'm going to go C.
scheme.
I'm going to go the scheme.
Yeah. Right. Oh, great, mate. Well. Thanks for being on Talkin' Luft today, mate, and I'll leave you with it. You've got a tough week ahead. Here we go. Well, there we go. What did you think? The scenario. I love doing those. They're hard to think up, actually. They're not as easy as you think to try and think up a scenario with all different answers that potentially they have a hard choice. Oh, I love listening to that. Derbs, he's a funny bastard, isn't he? God, loved having those guys on. It was good to get back in the World Tour this week and chat with those guys while they're in the Vuelta. Next week, like I said, I've got Lyle Wilcox. She's an ultra-distance rider. It's actually an amazing story. Guys, it's a great podcast. She was really fun to have on the pod. Genuinely loved chatting with her. So that's the episode next week. Sit back, lock yourselves in, get ready for it. Like I said, I'm going to be on the road. Long way to Sydney, long way to Wollongong, really, for the World Championships. Get out there, come and have a beer or whatever. Just watch me suffer along the way. Like I said at the start of the episode, the RAFA Women's Run 100 this Sunday, the 18th of September. If you're not an RCC member, get on board. This is something awesome. Get on board. It's 100K in one day. They're going to try and get 100,000 people to take part. I love it. So big thanks to RAFA, not only for that, but also partnering with us this year to bring you the podcast. Will Jones, who's putting these episodes together for you each week. And of course, Lara as well, who works with me behind the scenes. Guys, thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. The music in this episode was composed by Pete Shelley. Cheers, mate.